listening to Get Sports Radio.
Night quarterback, week number 9 edition. I'm Dan Claskins, your host. Happy to have you back with me. An abbreviated version coming at you a little bit earlier. Usually do this during Monday Night Football, but on the road. And wanted to just offer up some quick thoughts on some of the latest news and notes from around the league. We got our waiver wire to look at, some players that you're probably going to want to take a look at. We still got some bye weeks ahead, and as always, we're going to hand out some game balls. And our Game Use Sock Award as we look at some of the best and worst performances of week number 9. And I'll tell you what, if you haven't caught on to the podcast yet and you're coming across it for the first time, well, thanks for listening. You're going to want to subscribe. A lot of different ways to do that. You can do so on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud as well. Plus, GetSportsInfo.com, it's the home for it. You can get it anytime, the blog there, the fantasy content you need to win. Plus, you can follow me on Twitter at Dan Claskins, and we're happy to always answer your questions there. But man, let's dive right into it. Week 9. I don't know about you, but I'm sort of glad to put this one in the book. Our final 16 bye week of the season. That was good news. But man, it started out with these deadline deals, the trades that went down on Tuesday, Monday night into Tuesday last week. Then you had the Ezekiel Elliott suspension overturned on Friday. Let's not forget about Deshaun Watson's season-ending ACL injury on Thursday. And then just to top it off on Sunday morning, a shocking team-induced suspension for Leonard Fournette, the star rookie running back for the Jaguars. And also, after warming up and not really liking what he looked like there, that you saw the Eagles decide not to give tight end Zach Ertz the go. So some Sunday morning shuffling, to say the least. But when it all came down to it, I mean, here's where we landed, was basically looking at this as, hey, you got to have depth. And if you don't, you're going to end up losing in fantasy. If you lost this week, hopefully you can rebound. But the craziness, it carried right on over to the field. What about all these fights? That was just really, really took a beating on me. A.J. Green, have him on a couple very high spots. Wasn't really excited about his matchup. Actually benched him in one of the leagues for Devontae Parker. Had the same option in another league, decided against it, but at the end of the day, get burned by the fact that he was ejected for fighting with Jalen Ramsey, had only had one catch in his game to that point, and was pretty much deemed useless at that point. So it definitely was something that I was hoping to avoid there. The good news is, for A.J. Green owners, the NFL has come out today, and they are not going to suspend him nor Jalen Ramsey for that extra game, being that they already were ejected from that. Now, that said, Tampa Bay Bucks wide receiver Mike Evans, for his altercation in the Saints game where he came in, pushed up the defender from across the field, the news coming out here that he has been suspended for one game for violating the league's unsportsmanlike conduct and unnecessary roughness rules. It was sort of surprising that he didn't get ejected from yesterday's game, but it probably would have been better off, being that they're getting blown out there to the Saints. But still not excusable for what he did to Marshon Lattimore in the Superdome, the blindside hit on the rookie corner. He is now facing a suspension, and here's a game that the Bucks really, that their season's not already lost. This game against the Jets is definitely one they're going to have to play without their main guy, Mike Evans. They're also going to probably be playing without Jameis Winston for a few games. He'll definitely be out this week. They're going to shut him down at least the next 2 weeks as he continues to battle this AC joint sprain in his shoulder. He aggravated the injury further. An MRI apparently revealed more damage suffered in week 9's loss there to the Saints. Nothing structural, but right now, let's shut him down. I mean, the season is basically going away from the Bucks here. Second worst record in the NFC. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he gets the call against his former team, the Jets. Has to be on that streaming radar here, but You know, back in week six, let's not forget, Fitzpatrick threw for 290 and three touchdowns despite not starting in the comeback effort there against the Cardinals. He did struggle a lot against the Saints, but you know, they have a pretty good pass defense here. So Fitz definitely a guy that, you know, we'll talk about on the waiver wire a little bit here, but if you're a Winston owner, you could certainly do worse with that. Other injury news, DeMarco Murray, add another injury to his list. He's now dealing with a knee issue, and you know, speaking Monday, Titans head coach Mike Mularkey confirmed it is definitely a knee injury. He somewhat played through the issue against the Ravens, was limited to just 9 carries for 9 yards, his 37 snaps, second fewest of 2017, and it continues to just show signs of mileage there, does Murray. I wrote about it in my article this week for Pro Football Focus. You can check it out on Tuesday. But, I mean, they continued him out. And, you know, he had to come out, came out, and Derrick Henry got the touchdown there. And, I mean, he's 29 now. And I think the fact that you're seeing these injuries, we've seen a knee, we've seen a shoulder, we've seen a hamstring. A lot of different things there. When you look at the numbers, I mean, 4.1 yards a carry, 2.3 yards after contact. Not too far off of last year's total, but the biggest difference is the touchdowns. I mean, last year at this time, 8 touchdowns. At this point of the season, he just has 2. So that's a big stark difference there. And he's just not getting those large work volume days, and the injuries are a big part of it. He had 5 games of 20-plus touches at this point a season ago. He's yet to hit that mark in a single game this year. So that was pretty brutal. Other injuries of note, we talked about Zach Ertz with the groin issue, or the hamstring issue, excuse me. He tried to go through the hamstring in warm-ups. They decided to scratch him, stuck Trey Burton in there. And I think it was a part of it was they were on a bye week here. And, you know, they're like, what the heck? I mean, why not, right? What do we have to lose here? Let's get him a rest. We could probably win without him. And they did just that. And the end result, as you see here, a good one, because Burton gets in, does some fantasy production, a little extra rest. So we're hoping that that can definitely play out and actually be something of usefulness there. But you know, if you were an Ertz owner and got stuck with him, I actually had a situation where in a very shallow league, 16-team league with shallow roster sizes, I'd already had a cut I didn't want to pick up Jay Cutler to fill in for Deshaun Watson, who was my backup behind Tom Brady. I actually opted to take a 0 point, hoping I can survive this tonight. It was a unique circumstance. I'm 8-0 in that league, 4 games up in the division. You know, league titles aren't won necessarily in week 9 when you're in that scenario. They're won in week 16. So, you know, sometimes you do these things. But we're going to keep our eyes on the situation, see how it goes. We're going to keep our eyes on Dez Bryant, too. Knee injury there, in addition now to an ankle ailment. They're calling him day-to-day. I like to see Dez get fully healthy. I don't know if we've seen that so far this year, but a guy that we're going to definitely want to keep our eyes on the report. We have another injury situation here. Corey Coleman, the Browns receiver, he's actually eligible to return to game action in week 11, so you might want to keep that as there. The Browns did designate him as one of the players able to return. If he does come back, you will slide right in as the Browns number one receiver. I don't know what that's saying. But, you know, we will see how that goes, and something we're going to keep our eyes on. If you're really hurting at receiver, I think you could maybe stash in there and hope for the best. He is a highly touted guy, and, you know, we continue to watch that. We will also continue to watch Ezekiel Elliott. He has a hearing with the Second Circuit Court of Appeals scheduled for Thursday afternoon. The temporary stay granted to Elliott last week does not have to have an end date, meaning he will be eligible to play until the court hands down a ruling. The fact that he... So late in the week suggests the court will not have a verdict before Sunday's game. So Elliott looking like there's a chance he could play this week. Also a chance Charles Clay could play this week. He didn't practice on Monday, but We understand he's on track to still play this week, so we're going to want to keep our eyes on him. If he's out there, you need a tight end. He was playing pretty well before the injury, but with the emergence of Zay Jones, Jordan Matthews getting healthy, and the team acquiring Kelvin Benjamin in a trade, it remains to be seen whether or not we'll get that high target volume we came to expect and what we indeed did see there. So, just enter it with very cautiously. Hopefully this is a situation where Clay can come right back in and pick where he left off. And if you have stashed him out there in deeper leagues for this long, you're hopeful that he can do that. I do think he's a guy that, you're going to want to see, you're going to want to play, and hopefully one that we'll all keep our eyes on this week as practice goes along. Let's move on to some game balls. Hand out our game balls here for the week. Go by position, tell you who you need to know, who you need to get in there, who you need to get those game balls to, who got the Game U Sock Award. And let's start with our game balls at quarterback. And I got to give one out to Jared Goff. I mean, he's looking pretty good. Beat me pretty much straight up in one of the very important league I was playing against him in. And what a difference a year makes. I mean, the Rams 6-2. Sean McVay's arrival as coach has just breathed life into Goff. And last year at this time, the Rams were the league worst scoring team, 14 points per game. They're the best in the league at 32.9 per game now. And Goff, his best day of his career, 311 yards, 4 touchdowns against the Giants. He sits now just outside the top 10 of the position with 100 fantasy points, and he's accounted for multiple scores in 4 of his last 6 games. We're going to give him a game ball. Let's also give a game ball out to Tyrod Taylor, the top scoring running back in Thursday night's performance. 2 touchdowns through the air, 1 on the ground. Most of them came in garbage time, but what do we always say in fantasy? We don't care. Alvin Kamara, he's getting our game ball at running back, and rightfully so. He's looked very good. Turned out the best week in week number 9 at any position, and we continue to see him just play really well right now. And 0.76 points per opportunity. So that's a really high number, second in the league. And so he's every time he touches it. And over the last 3 weeks, only Ezekiel Elliott has produced more fantasy points than Kamara. So we knew when Adrian Peterson got traded that there was an opportunity there. I don't think any of us realized how big it was. He and Mark Ingram, both viable starting options each week with some RB1 upside. And Alvin Kamara, a guy that's clearly on the rise. Other game balls at running backs to hand out this week go to Todd Gurley. He also had 2 touchdowns in the route. Didn't even play the third quarter, but finished with 22.24 fantasy points for PPR owners. Let's go to the wide receiver position and hand out our game balls. And T.Y. Hilton had him in some DFS lineups. Wish I could have turned it into more cash. Liked him this week. Backed off of him a little bit when I saw it wasn't was Deshaun Watson there. Didn't know if it was going to turn into a shootout. Didn't matter for him. 5 catches, 175 yards, and a pair of touchdowns. He gets a game ball, and I'm going to give Alshon Jeffrey a game ball. Still only caught 6 of his 11 targets, but finished with 2 touchdowns, 84 yards, as the Eagles rolled to 8-1 with another impressive win. They put up a 50 spot against the Broncos. Let's go to tight end. Hand out our tight end game ball of the week, and no surprise here, but I'm going to give it to Travis Kelce. He continues to be one of fantasy's top tight ends. 7-9 targets he pulled in, 73 yards, got the touchdown. Nothing too crazy there, but still an effort that definitely deserves a little bit of recognition, and that's what this is all about. How about that game you sock? I hate to pick on him, but Doug Martin, 7 carries for 8 yards. Really, I could give it to the entire Bucs offense. Jameis Winston, he got hurt, left the game again with just under 3 fantasy points in most leagues. Doug Martin, just 0.7 fantasy points with his 7 carries or 7 yards on 8 carries, no catches there. Mike Evans only had a catch. Cameron Brate only had a catch. What a brutal day. The Tampa Bay Bucs getting my Game U Sock Award. Let's take a early look at that Week 10 waiver wire to close out this podcast. And not a lot out there, I'm not going to lie. We're clamoring to some things here. We talked about the quarterbacks. I think if you're hurting at the position, Jay Cutler is coming off a pretty good game, still viable out there if you need to turn to him in a pinch. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick could be a spot starter with Winston out these next couple weeks. Don't love him, but just a couple players you could look at if you're in a desperate situation. I think at running back, the name to clamor to this week is probably Danny Woodhead. He's due to come back from an injury here in week 11, so stashing him a little early could be a good thing. Rob Kelly, he scored a couple touchdowns this week. That's three now in two games. So in standard leagues, I guess, I'm still getting finding it tough to get excited about him. Just 14 carries for 18 yards, but you know you can do much worse than that. I think he's in play there. I think some stash guys. I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about what was going on with CJ Procise. I'm done waiting on him. So JD McKissick this week, it was Eddie Lacy, then he got hurt. So it's back to being Thomas Rawls show. So if you must have a Seattle running back, I guess Rawls is the guy I'm taking a chance with, but I'm not overly excited about it, let's be honest. If Matt Forte is still out there in your waiver wire, he shouldn't be. He continues to produce, getting a pretty high floor in the passing game, scoring a couple touchdowns on Thursday night. I think he's another guy you can look at it running back. And, you know, I mean, really, at running back position, just not a lot there right now. At wide receiver, it's a little more exciting. Rookie Corey Davis, if he didn't get scooped up yet, he probably should be. He's definitely on the radar again. Like what I saw from him, only had two catches for 28 yards, but he's going to be a factor down the stretch. I think we can keep our eyes, as we mentioned, Corey Coleman could potentially be returning in week 11, another stash. If you need a guy this week, the guy I might like and take a look at Marquise Lee, finally turned in a big role, had a nice game there. He's a guy that will get some targets. I think is clearly Jacksonville's best receiver. And if you want to stash a Jaguar receiver, a lot of people are stashing D.D. Westbrook. I'm not as excited about D.D. Westbrook there, but I think you could take a look at him. And Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley, big games. I'm not buying into picking them up, but I'm sure they'll be popular waiver wire commodities again this week as well. At the tight end position, not really a lot out there. You always want to play the spot plays and things like that. Vernon Davis, if Reed's out, continues to be very viable. And I also think Trey Burton is a guy worth keeping your eyes on if Zach Ertz remains out following his Week 10 bye. Burton proved to be effective and possibly could do it again. So that's all the time I got for today. I'll check back in on the Friday Fantasy Happy Hour on Friday afternoon later this week. Of course, you can get all my articles and my rankings exclusively at Pro Football Focus. Catch me Saturday mornings all season long. It won't be on this Saturday. We'll be participating in the DAV 5K as part of Veterans Day and my work with the Disabled American Veterans. So won't be on there this Saturday, but most Saturdays there. But definitely here anytime. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Be sure to do it, and be sure to listen again. Thanks for listening this time. I'm Dan Klaskins. This has been the Get Sports Info Podcast. Get Sports Radio.